Hi there, it's Heather from Watching Netflix Without You, the podcast. There are over 1,200 Netflix original feature films and documentaries, and that number is only growing. So I've made it my mission to watch as many as I possibly can. And with a delightful guest or guests in each episode, rate, review, and discuss each film. And that's about it. You can listen to Watching Netflix Without You on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more.
Welcome back to That Gaming Podcast, everybody. This is Ben.
And this is Alex.
And this is the show where we talk about the Nintendo and PlayStation games we're playing right now.
That's right. So join us as we embark into the world of gaming.
Let's do it. Welcome back to That Gaming Podcast. I'm here with Alex. How's it going?
Hello. Hello. How you doing?
Doing well. This week, we are going to talk about... Well, Alex is going to share his playthrough of the Uncharted Nathan Drake's collection.
Yes.
And yes. I'm going to discuss along with you. I, of course, have played this collection as well. You just played it recently here for the show.
Yes.
Yes. Played it back on PS4 a few years back. But this is... If you're a longtime listener of the show, thank you. We really appreciate you. And yes. You've heard us talk about reference Nathan Drake, reference Uncharted, like, what, a million times, Alex?
As I say, quite a few times by now, yeah. Yes, yes.
And so this is kind of a little bit of a fun one for us because this is a favorite game of ours. This is something we bonded over when we first started playing games, first hanging out, yes. First being friends. So, yeah, this is going to be a good one. No pressure.
No pressure, yeah.
No pressure. It's not that big a deal. It's fun. We're just here to have fun, and I hope you all out there are having fun too. We'd like to hear from you if you like the show and there's something that you want to help us with or you want to contribute to the show. We're collaborative. We like working with anybody. We like hearing from you guys and gals. So you can email askthatgamingpodcast@gmail.com and we will read your requests, read your reviews, your questions. If you want us to mention it on the show, let us know. We'll do that. But that's probably the quickest and best way to get to us and we'll respond right away. The other thing you can do to help us out is you can go to your Apple Podcast site. You can leave us a 5-star rating and review. I know there's some other platforms now that are starting to do reviews. I've kind of read some of it, but I don't know who, whoever you're listening on, if you have a way to give us a comment or a review or something that will get us up in that algorithm, we'd appreciate it. And we want to hear from you. So please do that. And the other thing is our Facebook videos. Alex every week has been putting together a video for us. It's got some of our podcast audio from whatever episode we talked about a game. And then the video is one of our playthrough, my playthrough or Alex's. And usually about 5-10 minutes. So if you have some time on a break at work or you want to check those out, they're there for you as well. You can type in at THTPod in the Facebook search to find them. And the other thing is I'm kind of going back to Twitter a little bit. You can reach me there. You can, you know, at mention me, go send me a direct message. It's at TGPodBen. And if you look on the profile, you'll see a link to our podcast. If you're trying to find it on your podcast player, if you click that link at the bottom, it'll have all the different little logos or icons. You can click on any of them and it should open your app right on your phone. If you have that app installed. So Twitter is a great way to find us. If you want to share with friends, just tell them, go to Twitter, go to TGPodBen, and they can find us if you want to share the show. That's all of our things we're doing. Man, we really got a lot going on. people listened way back in the day. We didn't do all these things, but we, little by little, we like making these little improvements. So
adjustments, yeah. Yes.
If there's something... you want us to know about, like I said, send us an email. We can hit you up there. So Alex, let's talk about Uncharted. Enough of that.
Uncharted, Nathan Drake Collection. Like you said, we bought over this game. This was actually the first game I played when I first got the PS3. When I came to the States, because I lived overseas. When I came to the States, I picked up PS3, went over to good old Video Games, etc., as you might recall.
Back in Iowa, yep.
Back in Iowa. And I went in, I picked up this, it was a bundle, I think it was. And I was talking to one of the guys there. And I was like, what's this game about? Is it good? Is it worth it? Should I play it? Or is it one of those free games? And the guy's like, no, you definitely should play. In fact, I highly recommend you rent the first two. We have it here. And then play three, mm-hmm. and then go with it. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll try that. Let me go. And he was absolutely right. Absolutely right.
That's best. That's funny. Yeah. I bought the bundle that came, or not a bundle, but I bought the PS3, and the first game I bought was Uncharted 2. So
really, yeah,
that's the game I bought with it. And I bought Star Trek on Blu-ray, the 2009
redo. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the first things I did with my PS3.
That's awesome. Yeah. So we both have Uncharted for the first game on the PS3. How about that? That's here? Cool. And it's a great game. It's a great game. I'll talk about here. We have a little bit of a different structure this time. I'm going to approach. Since we're covering three games, I'm just going to basically go through talking about the story plot, some of the characters, very, very, very short, nothing too extensive for all three games. I'll go one by one. And then we'll circle back and I'll basically talk about the, let's say, cool or memorable moments I encountered through the three different games. And then we'll go to that, and Ben will throw in some questions if he wants to in between. And then
sure.
We'll go from there. So first of all, the Nathan Drake Collection came out in October 7th of 2015. 2015 is a big year back then. That game came out. Arkham Knight came out. I feel like we're playing everything back then. That's going to be the new 2022 for sure. So the Nathan Drake came back in October 7th, 2015. Back in 2015. I keep saying 2015 two times.
You're good.
Back on the PS4. Uncharted is a PlayStation exclusive, except for I think the fourth one is being ported to PC. Mm-hmm. In the next coming, maybe already now or next few weeks, I heard. So
I just saw that God of War just came to PC. So yeah. I think it'll probably be coming there soon, I think, if not
very
already.
Soon. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Usually it goes on PlayStation first because it's a PlayStation title. And then I think after a few years, they pour it over. The first game, so this collection has all three games. Uncharted 1, Drake's Fortune. Uncharted 2, not true, Among Thieves. And Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception. All remastered by Bluepoint Games, which you've heard of us talk about them a few times in different games. They've got the different remastered. They're pretty good with remastering some mm-hmm. games I've seen. So Naughty Dog partnered up with them as well. Let's dive into the first game. So Uncharted, Drake's Fortune came out back in November 19, 2007 on the PS3. I'm trying to think if I played the remastered. No, I played that one first as well when I rented it. Yeah. Here. So
they never remastered the first game is, really. They just did this trilogy collection on PS4.
That's all they did, right? That's what there I thought. Yeah, there wasn't much of nothing upscale. I mean, the graphics still look pretty good in my opinion. It has that unique look to it. It wasn't like, you can tell it's dated. Yeah. It's like its own little thing there.
I think they just, with this trilogy, like up-resed it from 720 to 1080, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So it's a little clearer, but they didn't change the textures. It wasn't a remaster or a remake or any of those it's just ported. It's just a port, basically. They just made it. So
right, there you go.
So it was more stuck on the PS3 because PS4 wasn't backwards compatible. So
this is the only
way that they could do it. So
the first game, takes place. So I listed locations in each of the three games. So there are a bit of location. This first game, you travel around different locations. That's one thing I like about the Uncharted games. You go to different parts around the world, and there's a bunch of history involved too. Some fictional, some, they take some truth out of it and twist it to the game's narrative. Yeah. So for example, this first game, you play in coast of Panama. You play in the Amazon rainforest. You play... And this is funny because I was reading it. It says here, you also have a uncharted island off the coast of South America. Uncharted island. So I thought, okay, that makes sense. But the whole plot of the game is you play as Nathan Drake, main character, of course. And he is on a adventure/quest to essentially find out what for him, to him, is his ancestor, Francis Drake, which was like this explorer back in the, you know, way early, I don't know, Victorian times, let's say, explorer times, where he'd go find treasure or find stuff out there, essentially. Stuff could be legacies, could be curses, could be anything. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so he plays Nathan Drake, and in this first game, he's just trying to figure his path a little bit, find out what his ancestor was following. In this case, they are following something called El Dorado, which all of us, we know, El Dorado Golden City or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, we can think of. In this game, it's a bit of a twist. It becomes more of a, in the beginning, they think it's like a city. But then eventually, as you come across it, it's more of a curse you run into, which I'll get into a little bit.
Right.
In this game, you have Nathan Drake, you have Victor Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully. He's like your compadre or your friend in this series who stuck with you all these years and helps you out. This is also the opening for a person called Elena Fisher, mm-hmm. and she is essentially your... In this case, kind of like your stranger friend, and it becomes more of a romance as you play the other right. games, and they eventually get together.
She's a TV journalist, and yeah. she's coming along with him to take video footage. She's trying to make a TV show about explorers.
Yeah. And treasures, and try to make right. a break for it. You know, give her
and
a break.
She kinda and that kind of stuff. Mixed up with them in when they encounter the supernatural stuff and.
Right.
The bad guys take her hostage and all this crazy stuff.
And one thing still lead to another. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. She gets kind of mingled in here. The villains in this game here, there are essentially just two in this one. I only have the last names here because that's what they kept calling them as my last name. Forgot the first name. So I have a person called Navarro, and he is the psychic of, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, either Raymond or Ramon. And Ramon is basically just like rich, sounds like British explorer, entrepreneur kind of guy who is also on the path to try and find this El Dorado, thinking it's like treasure or something. But things change. Navarro is kind of like his henchman as they go along things.
I'm looking at like the wiki here and I don't see that. Oh, Roman. Yeah, no.
Roman
is the guy you're thinking of. Yeah, Roman's the main baddie.
Thank you.
Yes. And he has connection with Sully. And Sully needs to pay him back or for whatever reason.
For a debt or something. Exactly.
But then in the end, Navarro betrays Roman and he wants the treasure all for himself. Like the whole time, Navarro is kind of sneaky and
just hiding, playing along with it.
Yeah. And it goes along with the whole thieves motif. They're all thieves. They all work together, but then eventually they're just out for themselves kind of thing.
Yeah. That's essentially what it is. Yeah. Because in the game, as I say, besides locations, you go through, you run into like, I'm going to call them zombie Spaniards or something. From the Spanish colony, basically, back when they were exploring stuff. They got cursed by this El Dorado thing, which is more of a curse, little golden coffin, if you would. It's not really a treasure, basically, per se. And once you open it, you kind of get, you turn into this weird zombie looking thing and go hectic. So you run to them, you run to a bunch of Nazi Germans as well who were trying to go after it and they didn't succeed as well. So you run to like the two different groups of people, or two different timelines, should I say, of people as you run into this different islands in Amazon rainforest. Mm-hmm. And just to knock it out short here for this one, the conclusion of the story essentially is, as you said, Navarro essentially betrays Roman by saying, hey, go ahead, open up the coffin. He opens it up, turns into whatever, and then Roman kind of like just shoots him because, you know, the guy's charging at him, and that's about it. And Roman wants the El Dorado to sell off his weapon to the highest bidder because, he'll be rich off of that.
Or Navarro does. Roman is the one who get killed.
Yeah, Navarro. Yeah, exactly. Names. Roman is the one who...
mixed up.
Oh, did I mix them up?
I know what you meant. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Roman gets killed. Navarro is the one who betrays him, and you fight him at the end at the end of the game. And that's it. Basically, what happens to the coffin? It gets sunk at the bottom of the ocean. Mm-hmm. They just leave it there and they move on, essentially.
Because it's not worth keeping, as they can tell.
Nope.
It's pretty bad.
Leave it there. Don't touch it. Forget about it. Don't tell anybody about it, too. Yeah. And like I said, if you play the game, you'll know more about the story. But since we're covering three games, we're going to try and, you know, go through them in a pretty relatively good manner. Second game, Uncharted 2, is called Among Thieves. That came out October 13th of 2009, so 2 years after the first game. And this one takes place also in a few different locations. There's Turkey. There is an island or a place called Borneo, which I checked is actually somewhere in Indonesia. There is Nepal and or Tibet. Well, no, I'm sorry, there's Nepal and Tibet, and there's the Himalayas that you run into as well. Once again, you got Nathan Drake is back, of course. He's a main character. You got Sully there. Although, I will say, you don't see much of Sully in this one. Like, he's there in the intro a little bit, and then but the entire rest of the game, you don't see him till the end of the game. That's it. They don't include much in this one.
He isn't really much in this one. You're right.
No, the first game, you see him a lot. He's like your compadre and everything. But in the second game, not. And I think it's because they introduced this new character called Chloe. And she is basically the person you team up with a lot, and you go through all different locations to find something called, well, a location called Shambhala. But in Shambhala, which is this like hidden, secret, ancient city, has something called the Chintamani Stone. Yep. It's not more of a stone. It's actually more of like tree sap. It's like basically a like a liquid material that if you drink, you kind of become this overpowered person that you can like take damage, you can heal yourself. So that's the whole interest in that. And it's in this is the first game also that they introduced like a historical figure, Marco Polo, in this one here. Like when you open up the game, it actually gives you a little script from Marco Polo or something. And then you dive into the game. It's a little bit more historical, realistic characters.
Yeah, it gives you the feel, like you read about Marco Polo and it gives you the feel of like, I think it's a quote that he says.
It's a quote.
And I think it's talking about honor among thieves, that old phrase about, you know, you can't trust a thief, basically. And that, so it's giving you that idea going into the game, somehow this is going to be about trust and somebody's going to betray it and that kind of stuff. One other thing I was going to say was Shambhala, you mentioned, it's also called Shangri-La. People have said Shangri-La before. It's another
Shangri-La
name for it, just better known as. So
that's funny because I think now I think in the game there actually is a scene when he says that, I think Shangri-La, and I think who? And then somebody says Shambhala also, or goes by Shambhala. So that's a good point to point out. Good catch on that. And of course, Elena is back. And by this point, when you run into Elena, she's still a reporter, but you can tell there's some sort of friction happening. Something happened between the games where they were together. They kind of broke it off a little bit. There's this love interest. There's a little bit of a hint that was going on there, essentially. And you know, you have Chloe now, so it's kind of like, she's kind of like, you know, are you with her, or it's pretty interesting.
Just like in real life, there's a 2 year gap in the events of the last game and this game.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing going forward, they skip 2 years for the next game too.
For the next game. Yeah. So there's a bunch of history that you find out as you play the game that might have happened between the two. The main villains here, of course, are completely different. You have a warlord by the name of Lazarevich. He is like this, you know, literally a warlord that is on the path of trying to find this Chintamani stone to try, you know, get himself powerful and I guess rule the world, become the most powerful warlord around. And of course you have another villain again too, in he goes by the name of Flynn. Forgot his first name again. But there's Flynn also involved.
Flynn's name.
Yes. You have forgot his name. I should have written it down, but the game is very good with calling you by a last name.
It is. Yeah. Harry.
Drake. Harry Flynn. There we go. Harry Flynn. There we go.
Yeah, but a lot of the time, Nate just keeps going, Flynn.
Or Sully. Yeah. Or Lazarevich. Yeah, it's always like different, always last names. Or people call him just Drake. But very rarely you hear Nathan.
He doesn't call Chloe or Elena by their last names.
That is true. Fisher or anything.
Yeah. Frasier or Fisher.
Frasier.
I don't know. It's weird. Anyway. Flynn.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Flynn. Now, Flynn is the guy that betrays you, as we talked about the Marco Polo quote here. In the very beginning of the game, you try and break into this museum in Turkey to find evidence of this Chintamani stone. And he betrays you because he's actually hired by Lazarevich, which you find out later, and they are basically trying to find all the treasures, and they need a fall person to take the fall. And Drake is the one who takes the fall and gets captured and gets put in prison. And I think it goes on for like 4 months or something, he says he's in prison, until Sully like bails him out in Turkey, something like that.
It was a flashback sequence that you play. Lazarevic is from Serbia.
Yes, hence the H at the end of the name. I think it was Eastern Europe somewhere like that.
A dash above the sea.
Yeah, exactly. But in a nutshell, the game, just like before, you do run into one only incident where you do run some, you know, former Nazi militia, but it's not fighting them. It's more like a little bit of backstory or how they were trying to go after the Chintamani stone. You run into them. The main force you're fighting is the militia of the Lazarevic militia group. They're the ones who you really go against. And towards the end of the game, you run into more natural, phenomenal characters like, I call them the Shambhala Guardians, like this big, muscly, blue, Hulk-like things, you know, two hands, two legs and stuff, but they take quite a bit of damage, and they're guardians who protect Shambhala and the Chitamani Stone from that.
They're not really zombies this time, but they're kind of like super zombies or super henchmen.
Super henchmen or something like that.
The whole idea is that this is kind of like an Atlantis situation. It's lost under the ocean. It's like you're finding a lost tribe, a lost people that they haven't been in the surface world in a long time. So, anyway.
That's exactly it. No, that's exactly it. And the whole premise is, you know, you follow clues to get to this Shambhala location. You try and get there before the militia, Lazarevic, warlord, tries to go for it here. And at the end of the day, you end up, well, not you, but Shambhala ends up getting destroyed and just, you know, basically fall into the depths of the earth with Lazarevic there, with Flynn there and everything, and you make it out alive, basically. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of, you know, they kind of emphasize again, things are going well with Elena again, things might be different, and Chloe's also fine with you, and Sully's there and everything, so it moves on.
Yeah, Chloe, it says here, Chloe asks Nate if he loves Elena, he does not deny it.
Yes, so that's does the not little, deny like, it.
Clue for things to come.
And she kind of moves on, like, because in the beginning, it's kind of like he was unsure what to do, but she kind of says, no, you should go after a kind of thing. You can tell in the game. Mm-hmm. And then you go from there. So there's that. And then finally, the third game is Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception. And that was released, just like you said, November 1st, 2011. So again, 2 years later, things have changed a little bit. In this case, the locations are more to what we know as far as, like, you know, there's not much, you know, in-game location they create. So, for example, there is London you play in. There's Cartagena, which is in Colombia. You end up playing in France. You end up playing in Syria, in Yemen. And you notice there's, like, a lot of – there's, like, two Middle Eastern countries, because the whole premise here is trying to find – things that Lawrence of Arabia uncovered during his time over there. I'm going to jump quickly and cover this, get out of the way. The whole Elena thing, she's back, of course, here. Exactly like the second game, you can tell they had a rift going on again. Like, they were together. This time, though, you can tell they were married because they referenced rings a lot. And then she's wearing the ring and he's like, oh, you're still wearing it and that kind of stuff. And towards the end of the game, he's wearing his ring. So they were married, but something happened. Not really divorced, but I don't know. They drifted ways again or something at that point. She is also now a international correspondent as a journalist, which is how he runs into her. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, you keep running into her. Something, you know, there's something there. This one focuses more on Drake's past and how he met Sully. Yeah. Like, in the opening game, you are in this... the game starts off in the current timeline where you open up, you're trying to meet with two groups of people, Talbot and a person called Marlo. Talbot is the henchman of Marlo. Marlo is this lady that worked with Sully way back when he was younger and stuff. And she's kind of like this, you know, treasure hunter as well kind of thing, but once more, per se, like power. So it opens up with you walking into the pub. You're trying to cut a deal, and the deal is they'll pay you if you give them your ring, your ring that you carry around your neck, which you find in the last two games. And that ring opens up into a gadget. You can use it to find coordinates or find traces of this the supernatural area called Pillars of Aram, essentially. It's like a desert city that is hidden somewhere, and you have to go track it down because it promises wealth and power, and I'll get into it in a few minutes.
The ring is Sir Francis Drake's ring.
Yes, which you have in the first game, and then the second game, you're holding around your neck. Exactly. It's always mentioned. And this game does a good job to tell you how you acquired it, because after you do that one scene and you play further, it opens up with you in Colombia as Nathan Drake, like when he's like in his teen years, and he's just like, you know, trying to find his way, trying to find, you know, what his legacy is. And then he goes there, finds out that they have the Sir Francis Drake ring in the museum, and he wants it. And that's how he runs into Sully and steals it, and a partnership forms there. It's a very good way to kind of play around there. Some people told me when I first got the three games, like, play three first because there's a bit of background, then go play, you know, one, two. But I'm like, I don't think so. I think
I think the build up is better. Separate. And
yes,
you
yes.
get to this point in the game and you kind of, you'll go into it. You find out a little more.
I was going to say, yeah, you find a little bit more.
It's better to build to this. They have numbers. I think they're numbered for a reason. They want you to play it in this order, even though they're giving you a little history in the third one. Yeah.
You can tell. You can tell they want you to play in order. Yep. So it's definitely a good foundation. And after then the game keeps going back and forth. Like, you play a little bit of background, a little bit, not too much. And then it fast forwards you to the present time. I think it only does it twice, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And then you're finally playing in present.
I think so.
At that point. Yeah. So Chloe's back, of course. She's helping you out. Sally's back, of course, here. Elaine's back, of course. And they have a new character called Charlie Cutter. And as far as I know, it looks like he was working for Marlo a little bit, or maybe was undercover for her as like a henchman, but then sides with Nate to help find all that stuff because they know Marlo is, you know, evil and has bad intentions and stuff. And he kind of like helps you out and the group. In fact, this is the first game I've seen in the trilogy where you are actually playing a lot of missions with them with you. Usually it's just you by yourself or you and Sully, but here it's like all four of you are running around doing stuff, shooting at people, which is pretty cool.
And
they're
AI in that case. Yeah.
Right, they're helping you, giving you hints if you're not sure what to do next, and it's really fun with that. So Pillars of Aram, like I said, it's a city you eventually run into in the middle of the desert, and it's a cursed city, actually. They talk about how King Solomon back then, threw a brass container with the jinn inside or something. That's kind of like an evil curse. And what happens is basically if you drink like the water that flows around the city, you start to hallucinate, you start to see things, start to see spirits, mm-hmm. and things are not what they seem. If you play the game, that part really trips you out pretty badly. I remember playing it last night. Yeah, it's like, holy cow. And there's a scene with... I'll give a spoiler alert. You probably already know this by now, but if you've not played, you won't play, skip the next 10 seconds or next minute, should I say. There's a part in here where you drink water and stuff, and then you're kind of imagining it, but Sully gets shot and killed, and it makes it look very real, and you're like, what the heck just happened?
Really
happened? And I thought it was real for the very first time. Like, oh my god, that's crazy! Yeah. They killed him off and stuff. But then later, you run to Sully. He's like, no, you drank the water and you went all crazy and you ran off and stuff.
You kind of come to, and I don't remember exactly how. Are you running through the market at that point? Is that where you're at?
That's before. Before. So there's two scenes.
Whenever
that's when Kalba drugs you.
It's really cool how they bring you back into regular mode. What I really like about that is that what I thought was fascinating is that these games have always been like, you're kind of watching the narrative going on. You're watching the story go on and you're never really interacting with it. You're kind of just, you're doing stuff on screen to keep the narrative going. But in that moment, you have this kind of like out of body experience kind of when you're playing that. Cause you're did I break the game? Like, I thought, like, the game was broken. I was like, did I break the game? Because, like, your HUD is gone and stuff starts acting all screwy. I don't know. It really affects the the player in a way that makes you like, I don't know, just
question things.
It became more than a game for a little bit there. It became like, I don't know, just because it's real time, I guess. It was fascinating.
It does that. There's two scenes that does it. There's a scene where you're running around the market in Yemen and you get drugged by Talbot with a tranquilizer. Yeah. And then you run around the market and things like flowy and you're trying to run across. Yeah. Hell. It's weird. It's very good, though. Very yeah. good. And then the second part is, yes, in the city of Iram, Pillars of Iram, you drink the water and it's similar, not as bad, but it's similar. And that's when you find out, oh my God, they killed Sally. And no, it actually didn't once you run out of it. So, but that's essentially that for the overview of the game, should we say. The next thing, like I said, I took a cool or memorable moment for me I thought was interesting for the game for all three. I'll go through them very quickly here.
We're back at to the 30, first game, but don't worry about it, Alex. It's fine.
I was going to say, we're like at 30 minutes. I'm going to try and wrap it up here very quickly.
Yeah, just for us. Everybody knows, though. I think people would like to hear what we like the most about the game, like our favorite moments. So
it's going to happen, especially with Uncharted. Yeah. Especially with Uncharted.
Yeah, exactly. It's a trilogy, people. We're going to go a little long. I don't think anybody cares.
No, they're fine. So the first one, Drake's Fortune. For me personally, again, there's a lot of good moments, but for me, what I thought was interesting and I thought was revolutionary for that time in game, there's a part where you play with Elena and you're on a jet ski and you're running around the water trying to get to her. And then they have it to where you're like, you drive as Nate, but if you stop and you want to shoot, Elena gets up and shoots. So you're controlling two characters in one movement. So, you know, it's not like traditional games where you stop, pull out the gun and shoot. It's like you have two characters you're using. Like you drive as Nate. If you want to shoot, Elena picks up her gun and she shoots instead. So it's really cool having two characters with one system. It's like, wow, that's actually
that's
pretty
the first
impressive.
One, right? I remember that now. Yeah. See, the first one I went back and played like around the time that the third one was coming out, I think. So I didn't actually play them in order. I played two. I played two, one, and then three. But, you know, it worked out. But, that was such a cool moment in that first one. I remember that. Yeah.
Very, very well thought. I thought very creative with how they did that. They could have done a more boring approach, but they were very creative. So hats off to Naughty Dog for that. And in the second game, Uncharted 2 Among Thieves, you may know where I'm going with this here because you played it, Ben.
Yep.
I thought for me the coolest part, I think, for me, yes, it's on a train, but it's not the train that you're climbing that has the story. I like the part where you're like fighting your way to the front of the train. When you first get on the train and you're finding your way through different carriages and stuff, the environment is changing. There's parts where you have to be careful. You don't get knocked off like a sign or something that's coming around. It's very
outside and the train's moving.
That part's really fun. I thought that was really fun. You encounter different enemies. You got to be careful. You got to jump carefully. Don't fall off the train.
And you really feel the speed there of the train and the danger of it too. Because you care about Drake, you care about Nathan a lot, and so you don't want to die. And every time he dies, you're like, oh, you kind of break the narrative a little bit. You're like breaking
the
story.
Especially if it was somebody in some of the other scenes, you know, the person like Sully or someone's like, no, Drake, and then you die or something. Yeah. Or it's like, oh no, I'm sorry, no, what did I do?
I love the climbing. Once the train goes off the track and now you have to climb, the tension that is built there of like, I gotta make him go fast because we're gonna die, like is so fun.
That like, was a good scene too.
And it's
I almost picked that scene. I thought that was a good scene too. But I was like, after playing, I'm like, you know, that's a good scene, but I think I'm gonna go with shooting my way to the front.
Yeah, no, it's a good one too.
The best ones for me.
It's all good. So all of it is.
If it was up to me, everything's good in the game as well. And then the third game, was by far the hardest one to play, to pick. A lot of good moments.
So
I'm like,
many.
Man, it's... Yeah, the first was easy. Second was easy for me. And third game, I'm like, oh, man, where do I even start with this thing? First shout-out I'm going to do is the third game, for me, is my favorite of the trilogy. I haven't played 4 in a while, so maybe I'll come back and be like, hey, for me, the top is 4, maybe, of all the series. But 3 so far beats it for me. They got a lot of good music, like good soundtracks in the background with different moments, especially like we talked about when you're like dazed and running around. They click it so well together. It's like, wow, like you're in the moment. I like the different languages they have. There's actually a lot of Arabic speaking in there here. And in the other games is also Tibetan language speaking as well. You do a good game with getting authenticity involved. Yeah. It's amazing. But the one I picked here, and it was very, very hard because there's the airplane mode that's really cool, but it's cool, it's fun, but I don't want it to be too cliche here. I kind of went with the drugging around the market.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
That part was just the music, and you hear Talbot speaking to you and like trying to manipulate as you're running around, and the music kicks in, and you're like, whoa, and running into people and stuff. It's just, it got me into it. I was like, this is really good. Yeah. I like this.
Yeah. I'm the same with you. Like, I loved that sequence where you are falling out of the plane. I'm so glad they put that in the movie. If anybody that didn't play the game saw the movie, you know, when I saw it in the trailer, I'm like, oh, that's great. I love it because that's one of the best scenes. It's one of the most cinematic. Yeah. And you're falling out and you have to jump. Like, you're platforming, but you're platforming from one thing falling to the earth to another and like trying to not, you know, try to get back to the plane. It was so, it took the train thing and just took it to the next level. You were like, oh, and didn't feel like in a way that was like, oh, this is just the train again. You know, they're copying this.
No.
It didn't feel like that. It felt like, no, this takes it up a notch. They make it feel even more higher stakes.
More higher up. They did a fantastic job with that.
The ending boss battle. I just remember that in that game, the bad guy takes that stuff and isn't he just like raging and crazy and like.
Oh, that's second game.
Is that the second game?
Oh, yeah. Okay. The third game. Third game is not much boss battles as far as I can tell.
The
final battle,
isn't it against? Is that that's the second game. I must be thinking against that.
Yeah.
The Serbian guy.
He drinks some. Yeah.
That second game against the Serbian guy at the end. And he drinks that and then he's just like blue eyes and just like, I'm. Unlimited power. Like, that might be my favorite moment in the whole game because.
Interesting.
I just felt this visceral, like, this man is insane. He's not going to rule the world. I'm taking this guy down. I just felt this, like, I'm going to be the hero moment because they did such a good job of making that villain just.
They did.
Despicable. Like, you just couldn't like him in any way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was great.
It's.
But, I'm with you.
It's hard to pick.
The scene in the desert in that third one is similar to the one you're talking about in the market where he's just tripping and he's after the plane. It's almost better than after the plane, I would argue, because the plane is big and spectacle and great. But then they move right to this quiet, small moment that doesn't have any explosions, nothing. And it still feels as grand because it keeps backing away. The camera keeps backing away. And he's like a tiny little ant and you're still controlling him. I'm like, I'm still moving him. This is awesome. I can affect, you know, I found myself like letting off the joystick a little bit and he kind of stands there and staggers just to kind of play the story out, you know, not to try to break it, but just to play the story out of like, oh, I'm tired now. I can't walk, you know, it was wonderful.
They do. It's a lot of, it's one of the best ones. I don't want to say it's my favorite game of all the Uncharted ones because 4 is really good too, from what I remember. A lot of nostalgia. Yeah. So I'm going to play it again maybe in a few weeks or so. Maybe we can come back and I'll do a quick like shout out to it or something. But
you know, talking about this, I'm like, do I need to play Uncharted 4 too? There's so many games coming out. I don't know where I squeezed it in. But
go play 1, 2, 3. Go play 1, 2, 3. They're very short.
I almost feel like 4 is what I'd want to play the most again just because I've only played it once. So
same. Only once and that's it. So I might need to go back and master
the trilogy. I played twice now. So,
Hi, Kat. but that's essentially all I got. So thank you for your patience hanging in there. We got a little over time, but we figured that would happen with the three trilogy we're talking about.
Three games is hard to cover in one show, but you did it well, sir. Mm-hmm. And that'll do it for us, guys and gals. Like I said, if you want to email us, that's how you can best get in contact with us. I'm just going to reiterate that again. But I think coming up, we're going to talk about a few different games. I might do Spyro Trilogy. Rainbow Six Extraction is coming. You and I want to play that real bad.
Yes, next week.
WarioWare. Anna and I played that, so we might come on and talk about it. So But let us know what everybody thinks, and we'll be back with another episode. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.